This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
In the new digs, if you're watching on Sportsnet 360, welcome to it. Merrick Show on the air Monday to Friday starting at noon Eastern. Glad to have you aboard today. And coming up today, Elliot's going to drop by here in a couple of moments from Florida. And by the way, as Elliot has mentioned numerous times, and this year no different, whenever Elliot goes on vacation right before playoffs, big things happen. So today we'll talk more about the Arizona Coyotes situation and the inevitable march to Salt Lake City. It sounds very much like everybody wants to get this announcement done this week. The NHL does. Historically, the NHL doesn't like any kind of business interfering with the playoffs, and that's on the horizon. So the NHL wants to get this done. Alex Morella wants to get this done. Ryan Smith wants to get this done. Everyone wants to get this done. And whether it's done or close enough to being done, I would expect something coming up a little bit later on this week where they make it official that Arizona is headed to Salt Lake City. But there's a lot from this that falls that we'll get into with Elliot. One of the things that I wondered about last night, and we'll talk to Elliot about this coming up in a couple of moments, what happens to Alex Morello's gambling license? Now, in Arizona, you can be granted a gambling license if you own a professional hockey team or any kind of sports team for that matter. Now the Arizona Coyotes are leaving. What is the status of the sports book, Sahara Bets, that Alex Morello owns? And is this perhaps why they are leaving the Arizona Coyotes? Status of this is fascinating. Leaving the Arizona Coyotes in Arizona. Ryan Smith is only essentially purchasing contracts of players, management, assorted staff, coaches, etc. But the Arizona Coyotes are technically being left in Arizona, but they are being listed as dormant. Does that mean that Alex Morello can keep his sports book? If so, this deal just got a lot sweeter for Alex Morello. We'll get into that with Elliot coming up in a couple of moments. Jim Nill stops by, the reigning and defending general manager of the year. He'll be here coming up at the bottom of the hour. Dallas Stars general manager. You can make a case he could win it again this year. Erin Ambrose will stop by. She's Olympic gold medalist, a world champion a couple of different times. She scored the first goal yesterday for Team Canada, en route to a 6-5 win in one of the most exciting world championship games we've ever seen. It went to overtime. We got to 3-on-3, and the United States took too many players on the ice penalty, oops, leading to the power play goal by Team Canada. We'll get into that with Erin coming up in a couple of moments. Jesse Granger from The Athletic stops by. We'll talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. I know that everyone is going crazy right now talking about Mark Stone. And, oh, here we go again, and the timeline is the same, and all of a sudden Mark Stone miraculously has healed up. He went and bathed in holy water at Lourdes, and now he's fine to go. He won't play game 82, but he'll play game 83. I know everyone's losing their minds about this one, but the way they do LTIR is not going to change in the NHL. This is a discussion for 2 years from now. We'll get into this with Granger, probably get into this with Elliot as well. We'll see what the appetite is to change things. And if you're someone that grouses about it and doesn't like it, you're not going to get any change right now. This is a CBA issue. It's not going to change for another 2 years when the CBA is gulp up again. Before we get to Elliot here in a couple of moments, Matt Marchese, guess what I spent the morning doing?
What's that?
Hanging out with the Stanley Cup and Sid Sixero on Breakfast Television. Here's my question to you, as now we're getting ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
Matty, here's my question to you.
Okay.
Are you one of these guys that doesn't touch the Stanley Cup? Are you that guy?
Yeah, 100%.
Why?
Because I didn't earn it.
Oh, stop.
I didn't.
Stop.
There's a reason why we're talking right now, and I'm not.
Stop with that nonsense. I'm not saying to hold it over your head. I'm not saying to do a big celebration. All I'm saying is, would you not touch the Stanley Cup? Because I'll tell you a story. 2010, our firstborn son, TJ, we go to Nobleton. Your neck of the woods.
That's God's country, baby.
Right? For Nick Boynton's Stanley Cup party, 2010, Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. And my then two-week-old son, TJ, we have pictures at home of this. I should have brought him. He'll bring it in tomorrow. He can throw it up on 360 here. Put him in the cup.
That's okay.
Did I jinx him?
No.
Because he touched the cup at two weeks old.
That's different.
According to you.
That's different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How?
Like, I mean, now I probably would touch it because I got no shot. It's not happening. But
they're not scouting beer league games?
No, I don't think so. Not ours, anyway.
Right.
Although you could make the argument that some guys believe that they are.
Oh, I know. They think the Zamboni driver's a scout.
Yeah. Or the three people that just kind of wandered into the arena going, oh, we thought there was something else on today.
No, they were just cold.
Yeah.
Wandered in for some warmth.
Yeah. So No, I mean, now I would. But, like, if you had asked me that question 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Not that I would have had a shot as a player, but I'm like, oh, maybe I would like to work for a team one day, whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's different.
We've said it before. We'll say it again. Tradition is peer pressure from dead people.
Yes.
You can stop that. You're allowed to touch a Stanley Cup. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing magical is going to happen if you touch a Stanley Cup. We have a little replica here in
that,
between
I
us
touched
right
that
now.
One to put it in
I know.
Place.
You put that on there.
I did.
And that one lights up too, right? Like there's something special attached to that one.
I don't know.
Lights up, play songs.
This
I don't
is
know.
All. This is all new to me. Jeff, I needed a map to get here this morning.
Yeah,
I didn't. I was like, oh, I think it's when we were walking down, I said, I think it's down there.
I like it. It's nice sticks. Just hopefully it sounds good on radio. And podcast.
Oh,
thank you for
people will
us
let us know. Don't worry.
Right away, if not already. It's an interesting schedule tonight, and there's a couple of clinching scenarios. We'll get to those in a couple of moments. I mean, the Islanders are looking to clinch. The Rangers are looking to wrap up pretty much everything here. In the meantime, before we get to Jim Nill at the bottom of the hour, let's go to Florida now, where we greet Elliot Friedman, who, as you mentioned on the podcast, Friege, whenever you leave, big things happen. So technically, you're on vacation with your family, sort of. Kind of with one eye on your phone at all times. How popular are you and your family right now?
Not very popular, but that's regular standing, Jeff. You know how that goes.
I get it. I feel you, and I've been same numerous times. Okay, so here's what I was thinking. So last night, after we finished recording the podcast, had a text exchange with someone who's much much smarter than me. Who lives in Arizona. And we were talking about the status of one thing specifically. And we're talking about the Arizona situation here with Salt Lake City. And that is the status of Alex Morello's gambling license. And the company that he runs is called Sahara Bets. Now, the contingency on anyone being granted a gambling license in Arizona is they have to own a professional sports team. Now, in Alex Morello's case, that would be the Arizona Coyotes. Now, this team is in the process of leaving. A couple of things. You would think that there goes Alex Morello's sports book, Sahara Bets. But the more that I thought about it and sort of texted through with this person last night, I come to the conclusion to perhaps, and again, you can tell me whether I'm on base or off base here, perhaps the Arizona Coyotes are being left as an entity in Arizona, just a dormant entity or an inactive entity. He is still technically the owner or with this five-year window responsible for the brand, the IP, everything involving the Arizona Coyotes. And does that then allow him to continue to operate a sports book? Do we know?
I don't know that, but even if the Coyotes are made inactive or whatever, he still does own a pro sports team, the Tucson Roadrunners.
So that would be enough then?
I don't know. Like you're asking me questions I don't know the answer to. To me, I've been focusing on the hockey part of this and whatever else I can find out.
Right.
I don't know about the gambling license, but... Like, I would really hesitate for anything I'm saying here to be used as the gospel, but he still does own, if the rule is he's got to own a pro sports team, he still does own one. That's the American Hockey League team. But I'll also say this. I remember the last time I saw the figures from this, that gambling license had not been very successful.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it was extremely underwhelming and disappointing. Maybe that's changed, but I remember the last time I saw the public numbers, which was about a year ago, it had been really dismal compared to what everybody was hoping.
NHL, Alex Morello, Ryan Smith, speaking of hoping to get this wrapped up this week. Like I still, and again, like I've never been part of negotiations like this, but this has got to be so multi-ranging and layered. You know, whenever we see... whether it's CBA agreements, even when they're announced, the documents are still not completely done. It's just we're along the ways close enough to getting it announced. But all parties involved here want this to be done this week, correct?
Yes. There's no question that's the case. They really hope to do it this week, Thursday or Friday. They want to do it before the playoffs. That has been the NHL's goal.
Right.
and I think everybody would like to do it. I'll say this. I heard at the end of last week there was some doubt that that was going to be able to happen. And then I heard this morning that there was a bit more optimism that it could happen. And I think the key here, Jeff, is, and this is going to be one of the questions, do they need to have it all papered by this week, or can they get to a point where legal and financial protections are in place that everybody's comfortable to officially announce it, knowing that the penalties for it falling apart would be enough that nobody would want that to happen. Mm-hmm. That's what a couple people said to me, is that if you can't fully finalize it, at least what you can do is put in place punishments if it doesn't happen from a certain point. And I was told that that is an option or a possibility. So, we'll see where it goes. I remember, for example, in 2013, with the last lockout, they announced there was a deal before they had it papered.
Yep.
And then it took them, I think, a week or so to get it papered, but they got it done. So, you hear a lot of things. You hear people say, hey, nothing is done until it's done. And they've been in meetings where everybody thought it was done, and then they were about to sign, it didn't get done. But you can also put the protections in place. And I do think one of those things is the goal here. They don't want it to overshadow their playoffs.
Right.
And they do want to get it done as soon as possible, especially now since it's leaked out everywhere. And, some people have had to answer for it when they're really not qualified to answer for it, or the person who should be answered for it.
Yeah. One of the most impressive things through all this since, all the information leaked out is how this team hasn't quit, with a couple of big wins and then giving Calgary everything they want. Listen, I feel bad for Connor Ingram last night, who got a, Matt Coronado stick in the cat's eye last night. But this is a team that hasn't quit. They've been given every single opportunity, they've been given every single reason. Like, I think a lot of these players kind of feel duped. I think a lot of people around Arizona kind of feel duped here by the owner. They've been given opportunity and reason to quit. They haven't. As a matter of fact, the opposite has happened. Like, you can make the argument that Andre Tournier has his team playing maybe harder than we've seen in a long time. Nonetheless, for Salt Lake City, I think one of the things that we're looking at here is trying to figure out what Ryan Smith is going to do with this. And the only thing that we can really point to as to, how does he behave with a pro sports team are the Utah Jazz. Is there anything that we can pull out of how he behaves as owner of that team and foreshadow what this Salt Lake City, the Utah Blanks, will perform, how they will perform, what will they do, how will the day-to-day operate?
Yeah, I got to say, that's a great question, Jeff. One of the things he did was he hired as the guy who runs the basketball operations is a former Toronto Blue Jay, Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
And Danny Ainge, during his time as an NBA executive, has proven that he is not afraid. Mm-hmm. There's a great book, and I can't remember the title of it, but I do own it, that talks about, so Danny Ainge was the manager when the Boston Celtics won their last NBA title. I think that was, I can't even remember what year it was right now. It was between 2008 and 2010. Mm-hmm. They won an NBA title and they went to game 7 against the Lakers for another one, and they lost. Kobe Bryant beat them in that series. But Danny Ainge, there's a great story about how he convinced Kevin Garnett to accept a trade to the Celtics. And then when Kevin Garnett was willing to go, Ray Allen went too, and it was their big three. It was Garnett, Allen, and Paul Pierce. And it was bull. Like, it was not easy how he had to convince Garnett to do it. Mm-hmm. But that's who he is. And, a couple of years ago, Utah had a couple of big stars, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, and he traded them both and started a rebuild process. And so he's not afraid. He's a bold guy. Mm-hmm. And obviously Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith, they own Smith Entertainment Group. You know, they're obviously not afraid to hire someone or have people there who are willing to make bold moves. So I would expect his NHL ownership wouldn't be different. Look, they've got a lot of cap room. They've got no defenseman signed for next year. They're going to want to make a splash. They're going to have the opportunity to do things. And quietly, you know, Arizona's been indicating for some time now that they were going to spend this summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think everybody kind of sees here. So I think there's some agents rubbing their hands with glee about these possibilities.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing here too, Jeff, is that I believe the NHL was in there recently looking at the rink. Smith has, and as part, you know, they're the preferred bidder for the Olympics. I can't remember winner. I can't remember if it's 2030 or 2034. And as part of that, they are going to get a new arena.
Yeah.
But in the interim, Smith has made it very clear that he's going to listen to the NHL and in terms of what they need to upgrade their facility now, and he is prepared to do it. So there's like a bunch of obstructed view seats for hockey. People have said it's similar to what the people who don't like it say, well, it's the exact same way Arizona started. Mm-hmm. And why are we doing that again? And yes, it's true, but it's also different. It's different because you know there's a committed owner here. The arena is in the right place. He's going to spend. On that basic level, it's the same, but the circumstances and the situation around it are very, very different. A new arena is coming. He's prepared right away to do what he needs to do to upgrade the facility and make it better. So I think that's what you're looking at there, a guy who's not afraid, either in terms of using his checkbook or hiring people with big ideas to run his team.
Why is, for those that haven't either read interviews with him or listened to our interview with Ryan Smith on the podcast last year, why does the NHL want Ryan Smith in the mix? Like, what's attractive about Ryan Smith specifically? Because it seems as if, like, listen, he didn't have to do that interview with us last year. If the NHL wanted to shut it down, I'm sure the NHL would have said, yeah, you're not doing any media. I don't believe that Ryan Smith submits that open letter asking to initiate the expansion process without the blessing of the NHL. These are a couple of obvious statements. But what's attractive from the NHL's point of view about Ryan Smith?
Well, I'll tell you about something. Remember, it was about a year ago that we broke the story that Bettman had met with Smith after an NBA Board of Governors meeting in New York. This, by the way, this is one thing that the NHL does better than the NBA. The NBA holds their Board of Governors meetings in New York, and there's nothing wrong with that. New York is a great city, and Manhattan's a great place. But the NHL does their Board of Governors meetings in warm weather locales. Mm-hmm. So advantage NHL. They do one in New York, but they do the other ones in California or Florida. So go NHL on that one. I like this one. So I remember not long after that happened, I got a call from someone, and they said, I'm giving you a tip. And I said, okay. And they said, Gary Bettman, do you know who Ryan Smith is? And I said, yes, actually, because I heard when the Penguins were for sale that Ryan Smith had dipped his toe in the water. And so someone called me and they said, Ryan Smith went to dinner with Gary Bettman after the NBA Board of Governors meeting. So, okay, that's a great tip. Thank you. And he goes, do you know why I'm telling you? And I said, no. And he said, because we need this guy in the league. And I said, okay. And we have to build some momentum for it. So I said, okay. And, I reported it and I found out it was true. And I think the thing about Smith is, like, he's 45 years old. He's worth a ton of money. And as you heard in the interview with him and some of the other interviews he's done elsewhere, he's enthusiastic about it. And, you know, when you have done what he has accomplished and you see that he's enthusiastic about something, you want people like that as part of your group, right?
Yeah.
You want people like that around you. And that's what I think it is. And also, if you take a look at a lot of the, like, the reports about the demographics about Salt Lake City, it's really a growing area.
Yeah.
They you know, like, he's not going there if he doesn't think they're going to like hockey or want to be around hockey. You know, he believes that they're, you know, he believes that their audience wants it. Their audience will be interested in it. And he's going to build a new building for it. And I think all of that is, and the other thing too is, and I've mentioned this before with you, and I keep hearing it. The NHL has 25 teams in the United States.
Yeah.
They think that there's room for more. You look at how, like, the NFL has 32.
Yep.
The NBA, I think, has 31. Major League Baseball has 29, I think it is. Like, I just think that they feel that with some of the growth and some of the places that hockey players are coming from now, there's more there. And the other thing about Smith is, and he talks about this a lot, Jeff, they, like, the Jazz have always been hugely popular there. The Jazz have been a real success. They were a really aimless franchise before they went there when they were in New Orleans. And now they're in Utah and they're stable and they're strong. And so people like that about their fans, but also, like, he makes sure that from the youth level, the Jazz are all over the community. And that's the thing he's going to do there too. He has a program there called the Junior Jazz, and he's going to do that. I don't know, the Junior Yeti, the Junior Swarm, whatever they call them. He's going to do the same thing, and that's what they want.
Okay, off the Arizona Salt Lake City topic. We'll do more on this as the week goes on, and Elliot and I are pretty much in agreement on this one. That's everybody wants this to get done this week. You're in Florida. The Maple Leafs have traveled to Florida. Austin Matthews, one goal away from 70. I was mentioning to you on the podcast, one of the funniest things I saw all weekend was, you know, once Matthews hit 69, every time he touched the ice, everybody got their phones out to record every single shift. So when 70 happened, if 70 was going to happen on Saturday, we would have had a flood of videos on social media and with everybody's different. It would be like the most covered goal in the history of the NHL because there's about, you know, 16 or 17,000 people that all had their phones out that were recording this thing. If he gets to 70, how complicated does the Hart Trophy conversation get? And if the Pittsburgh Penguins make it in, how difficult does the Hart Trophy conversation get?
I think it's already hard. I don't need this to be any harder, Jeff. I think that's what I'm saying to you. No, yeah. I mean, it's going to be like, people are going to be furious no matter what all of the voters do.
For sure.
And again, like someone said to me, one of my buddies said to me the other day, he said, "You wish that they would make the ballots private." And I said, no. We knew the rules going in. You know, we wanted to make them public, and I think it's the right thing to do. We ask for people to be transparent with us. We can't be chicken bleep because the vote is tough. Like, you just can't do that. So, we'll put on the body armor and we'll take the spears. It's really hard. I mean, like, the thing is, it's not just that there are a lot of deserving candidates. It's that a lot of these candidates are doing superhuman things, really.
Yeah.
Like, Matthews is about, there's nine guys who've done this. He has a chance to be the 10th. He's leading the guy behind him in goals by what, 15? I mean, that's rare that you see that much of a difference between number one and number two. He's doing it all at even strength. He's got the most even strength goals in 30 years. And then you look at Kucherov, and he's 50 points up on his teammate. They sent out a stat last week. He's got the highest percentage of team points since Jagr. John Cooper goes to stump from this morning saying he's got 23 three-point games. And, you know, he's going to be the guy who is probably going to be the fourth guy to get to 100 assists in the season. And then there'll be the fifth, McDavid.
Yep.
And you look at everything McDavid's doing, and now he's out of the lineup. and you've got McKinnon and everything he's done, like they're doing superhuman things. So it's not just like the vote is hard. Mm-hmm. You're basically saying to someone, it's like if you had three people running 100 meter and they all set the world record and someone has to get a bronze medal out of it. Or you get a fourth person who also sets the world record and he's off or she's off the podium.
Yep.
Like that's what we're dealing with here. And so, I mean, I don't know, like it's going to be insane. It's going to be insane. And like I told you on the pod, we're going to go through three levels of abuse. The first, when they realize who didn't even become a finalist.
Yep.
The second, when they see who wins. And the third, when our ballots get revealed.
And I'll tell you, when the ballots get revealed, what do you think everybody is going to be looking for?
Oh, yeah, they're going to go right through it. Absolutely.
You know what everyone's going to look for.
Get destroyed.
Yeah. Real quick, some.
By the way, the other thing I want to say, and I want to reiterate this, I was sitting on the beach this morning.
Yep.
I got out of the water. I was glistening in the sun.
Oh,
I want
shimmering.
Everyone to know that.
Shimmering like a seal in the sun, Ellen.
I was glistening and shimmering in the sun. And I'm out of the water, and this nice couple from Toronto sees me, and they said, "Are you sure Matthews is playing tomorrow night? We got tickets." And they also bought tickets to Tampa on Wednesday.
Wow.
And they're driving it. Like I met a couple of people who are actually doing this. They're going to a Florida game on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And they're driving across Alligator Alley on Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And they're going to go see them in Tampa. And I said, "What are you doing next weekend?" And they said, "Oh, we got to go home on Friday." And I said, "Don't do that. Because if it's Toronto and Florida, I think they open Saturday." So I said, you can always get a new job. You can't always go watch the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's simple in this economy, Elliot. Everybody knows
yes.
that. Real quick, some clinching scenarios. Tonight, the Islanders will clinch a playoff berth if they beat the Devils in any fashion. And did you see what the goalie matchup is going to be? Jake Allen for the New Jersey Devils and Semyon Varlamov for the New York Islanders. Does that surprise, tickle? Does that do anything to you?
No, Patrick Waugh, he's making the right call here. Varlamov has won the job for the time being.
Yep.
He has stabilized them. I would do first of all, excuse me, I'm partially an idiot, Jeff, but I'm not so much of an idiot that I'm going to come on this show and tell Patrick Waugh he doesn't know anything about goaltending. He should play Sorokin. He knows what he's doing. I'll tell you this, but there were some other goaltending ones I thought were really interesting.
Buffalo?
No. What a vote of no confidence in Tristan Jarry.
Yeah, and Nedeljkovic starts. Yep.
Yeah, because he looked wiped out on Saturday.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, to me that is not so much a vote of confidence in Nedeljkovic, who's been great and deserves all of the roses. To me, that's a vote of no confidence. Yep. In Jarry. But the other one I thought was interesting was Detroit. Now, it is a back-to-back.
Yeah.
But considering Reimer won, I thought he would go tonight. But they're going with Lyon.
Yeah.
So those surprised me. These teams are revealing a lot about themselves here. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to say one other thing, Jeff. Some people said to me that they thought I was wrong, that if Detroit... Detroit lost in regulation, they were eliminated. They said, "No, you're not right about that." And I'll tell you why it's correct. And that's still the same thing for tonight, is because Washington and Philly play each other.
Yep.
So somebody's got to win that game, and Detroit can't beat that team in the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So that's the issue.
That's funny, Elliot, because isn't that the perfect saying for this playoff race around wild card 2 in the Eastern Conference?
We have no idea what's happening.
No, someone has to win this game.
Doodlebug Derby.
Doodlebug Derby, that's it. All right, back to the beach for you. Thanks as always. I know you're supposed to be on vacation, but when the Arizona story, et cetera, blah, 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 you're still wearing your reporter and journalist hat. Thanks as always, Freege. Enjoy the beach.
just remember, glistening. I come out of the water, I'm glistening.
Yes, like a mermaid. Just put that visual in everyone's head right now. The mermaid, Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada.